The views expressed in the following program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of Saga 960 AM or its management.
Hey, it's Ed the Sock. Where the heck were you when this show was live? Now it's a rerun and you can't call in. So don't call in. Joti, what the hell's going on with your computer? The second week in a row, the show's supposed to start, and there's this dead silence. Yeah, and all you guys over there, you miscreants who are talking, distracting Joti, you be quiet. We're doing serious radio here. Got a whole bunch of guys here, going, ho, 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 having a conversation. I think they're taking a Timmy's order. We're trying to do serious radio here. Don't distract me. And don't distract Joti. Joti, I really think it's time to upgrade the Commodore 64. I'm pretty sure. People don't realize that the computer is actually, the power for the computer is actually generated by a hamster on a wheel. He just keeps running and running and it generates the current. And unfortunately, the hamster just died. And so we had to put a new hamster on. Yeah, but, and the TV is still on in here. Again, I'm being distracted by some guy with a giant, this guy looks like the guy from Monopoly with the glasses and the big mustache. I don't know what he's talking about, but he looks like from Monopoly. Why is there a TV in here? I'm trying to do my own show. Why should I watch somebody else's show? Almost didn't make it here today, by the way. I was at the post office. My God, it's like nobody mailed anything all year round and they just saved it for now. I was waiting and waiting in line. It's one of those things where you're in line and you're like, you've been in line so long, you know you got to get out of line. You know you got to get in, got to get this thing packaged and sent because you got to be somewhere. But you've been in line so long, you think I should just stay a little bit longer. It won't take that much longer. And then it takes longer than it should. And you still say, well, I've waited this long. I should wait a little bit longer. It's not going to take much longer. And then it takes longer again. And by the time you get up there, you're kind of an a-hole because you're in a hurry and you're like pushing the person. And they don't care. You know, S not given. These people at the post office, you're in a rush. They're in no hurry. They got to be there as long as they got to be there. They don't have a quota. They can process 10 people an hour. They can process 5 people an hour. They get paid the same. And then, of course, as I'm driving here, the gas light goes on. I got to get gas, too. So it was a comedy of errors. Then I get here, and I could have got here like 30 seconds later because the computer was broken. Anyway, for all of our Jewish listeners, a happy Hanukkah. I pronounce it Hanukkah with a H, not the easy Hanukkah that's put out there for non-Jews to pronounce. So happy Hanukkah to everybody. Hope you're enjoying your latkes and your candles. And coming up on Christmas, Jody, have you done Christmas shopping this year?
No, I haven't, actually.
Are you going to do any?
Oh, wait, hang on.
Oh, there we go.
See?
There we go.
This
puts us in the mind of Christmas. Snow. Nice blanket of snow. Little footsteps in the snow. Little kids with their little apple cheeks waiting for Santa.
Just like the ones I...
This sounds like a guy singing from beyond the grave. Doesn't it? It sounds like when they microphone seances and you hear ghostly voices. This guy sounds like, I mean, I'm sure the singer actually has been dead for many generations. Is this Bing Crosby? Yeah, Bing Crosby has been dead since before Jody was alive. And I'm not sure, judging by his voice here, that he ever was actually alive. The brighter side of COVID, though, this year, with people not getting together, you don't have to get presents for people you didn't want to get presents for. You know how, like, people would get together and you'd get together like Christmas parties and there'd be people there that you really, on their own, they do not warrant a Christmas present. They don't deserve it. They're not friends of yours. They're barely acquaintances. They're not worth taking the time to think. And of course, you always just get them gift cards because you don't know enough about them to get them an actual present. Like, if you don't know enough about somebody to get them a present, then you shouldn't be giving them a present. Because if they're not special enough that you know something about them, something, some like of theirs, some particular hobby, if you don't know enough about them, you shouldn't be getting them presents. This doesn't count for grandparents who are just sort of out of it when it comes to what their grandchildren want. They're a little generation removed. Gift cards there are fine. But if you're giving somebody in your own age group a gift card, man, you don't really know them and you shouldn't be giving them a present. So this year, because people aren't getting together, my Christmas list has dropped substantially. Because I would just not get them a gift in the past, but then you go and they give you a gift and you feel like a creep for not getting them a gift. I mean, that fades with me really quickly. And, you know, by the time I'm out the door, I forget about it altogether. And usually they get me a crappy gift because they don't know me any better than I know them. That's the bright side of COVID. The downside is, you know, barring the Christmas music you just played, I'm not hearing Christmas music this year because I'm not in the malls. I love Christmas music. Christmas isn't even my holiday, but I love the season and I love Christmas music. And it just almost doesn't feel like December if I'm not hearing Christmas music. I mean, there's radio stations that play nothing but Christmas music, but I'm not insane. I don't want to do that. I just like to hear it in the background. Sometimes if I'm grocery shopping, I'll hear it in the background. I mean, but I miss Christmas music. I miss hearing it. I think a lot of people aren't going to be in the Christmas spirit this year because we don't have that audio reinforcement. Though I will say, good thing. Oh, here's more Christmas music. Thank you, Jyoti. Is this the same one?
No.
Oh, no, this is a different one?
Mm-hmm.
Can you find one that doesn't sound like it's a dirge? Something they don't play at funerals? The one good thing that about not hearing Christmas music, I don't have to hear the little drummer boy. I hate the little drummer boy. Don't give me that look like you got the little drummer boy there. I don't want to hear the little drummer boy. I like all Christmas songs. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree is a little bit annoying. But little drummer boy? No, just don't give me the little drummer boy. By the way, you can give us a call. What's your favorite Christmas song? How do you feel about Christmas this year? 416-640-0200. 416-640-0200. Where's Rio? Rio called the first week, and then Rio hasn't called back. Maybe he didn't like that I alleged that his name was like a stripper's name or something. Where is Rio? And where's his brother Darko? Rio, Darko, where are you guys? Are you boycotting my show? Do I have to start talking nonsense like Petroni, and then you'll call in? Maybe Justin Trudeau bad. Very bad. Justin Trudeau bad. There, call in now, Rio, okay? All right, are we supposed to go to a break soon? We're supposed to go to a break already, weren't we? All right, I went on a little bit longer than I thought. Oh, why are you playing this one, Jyoti? Oh, at least it ain't the drummer boy. We'll be back with Ed the Sock Lives on Saga 960 AM. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Stream us live at saga960am.ca.
Hey, it's Ed the Sock. Where the heck were you when this show was live? Now it's a rerun and you can't call in. So don't call in. All right, welcome back to Ed the Sock Lives. I would be the Ed the Sock that is living. And we're taking phone calls, 416-640-0200. You can talk about whatever's on your mind. And let's see what's on the mind of our friend from Waterloo, John. Hello, John.
Hey, Ed. Long time no hear.
Well, that's your fault, not mine.
I used to go up into the middle of nowhere to watch you before you went on to city.
You used to get up what?
I used to go out in the middle of nowhere on the TTC to watch your show when it was still just a basic cable program.
Really? You had to travel outside of where you live to go see my show?
Yeah, well, I was living in Cabbage Town at the time, so you know anywhere north of Eglinton is you know a distance when you don't have a car.
Oh, so you mean back in the really early days? You're really a pioneer because you're talking back in the days when I was only on the small cable station that I started on. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
you
yeah.
go way back. You get a gold star. So,
thanks.
Yeah, I mean, for what that's worth, don't get carried away.
Yeah. In this day and age, any recognition, right? I was just curious your opinion, because I know you're not a fan of our illustrious provincial leader any more than I am. And I'm not looking to just diss him. You know, I mean, this is a time, you know, with the pandemic, there's a lot going on. you know, give credit where it's due, is, and at the same time hold people accountable. But it seems to me all he's doing is using it as a giant photo op, and he's gaining in popularity for that. And I don't understand. Like, you're a media savvy sock. How do we just make people face up to what's really happening instead of going off? I don't want to go off into a conspiracy theory or anything like that. Just like, how do you make people realize, like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's not good.
People, there's one thing. Okay, first of all, the public's able to focus on basically one thing at a time. And right now they're focusing on COVID. And right now they really, really need to believe that the guy in charge is in charge, that the guy in charge knows what he's doing and is doing what's best for us. People really need to believe that. And as we've seen, especially in the States, what people want to believe, they will believe. But they need the comfort of the thought that our provincial leader is looking out for us. Therefore, they wish to believe that. Therefore, they believe that. And because of that, he's gaining in popularity because he happens to be the guy at the helm while this is happening. Interestingly, nobody's holding him accountable for the rising cases. Nobody's holding him accountable for not locking down sooner. No one's holding him accountable for locking down perhaps some industries which were not the principal cause of spread. Nobody's holding him accountable for allowing certain industries to stay open that coincidentally are part of his donor pool. Nobody's holding him accountable for that. But they want to believe that dear father is looking after us, and so they believe it, and it makes them feel better. And people will always believe whatever it is that makes them feel better.
Well, hopefully that means it won't stick once things start to eventually they will renormalize, certainly before the next provincial election. But
I don't know, the Liberals elected a leader who has the charisma of a potted plant. I mean, the guy might as well not even exist.
I mean, yeah, but to be fair, on the other side of it, there you got somebody who I thought would have been a good option, and then she turned around and it was her vote of non-confidence that gave us a win majority. You know,
oh, Andrea Horvath. Horvath, I mean, is terrible.
You got so many people that are misstepping. It's almost like the media machine surrounding Ford is where the credit really is.
Well, where is Andrea Horvath? She's discovered the power of invisibility. Maybe she's got Harry Potter's invisibility cloak or something. Because all this is going on, she's the head of the opposition. And has anybody seen her? You're going to see her face on milk cartons soon, wondering where she's gone.
You know, well, it's like it's like federally. I mean, the NDP seem more interested in what their Instagram account is like than in actually providing alternatives, and that's frustrating. I mean, I am not by any stretch of the imagination either extreme right or extreme left. I'm very slightly right, but yet there's no real dialogue. There's nothing to compare it to. It's just a case of, oh well, they're bad. Well, why are they bad? Let's have that discussion. And I don't think anybody seems to really want to do that.
No.
At the level where there should be leadership.
No. There's no discussion. There's just federally Trudeau bad. That's all. Why is he bad? Because Trudeau bad.
Trudeau bad. And you know what?
It's
that
like
really
talks
to me about Albertans. I know we're getting off the topic here of Ford, but I mean, Trudeau has done. He's done a better job than I expected him to, and he has sent more money to Alberta than any leader in national history, and yet Albertans still hate him because of his name. And I'm like, just dude.
I think they don't like him because of his hair, but one
well,
never knows.
Well, appreciate your time. Obviously, I'm sure you must have other callers, but
oh, really? You should check our switchboard. Yeah, they're lining up. In fact, people are outside the door banging on the windows because they can't get through. 416-640-0200. Thanks for calling, John, from Waterloo.
Thanks, Ed. You have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, so we're going to go to break. We're going to bring in Nick. All right, coming up, comedian and podcast host Nick Beaton as we talk about more news stuff here on Ed the Sock Lives.
No radio? No problem. Stream us live on saga960am.ca.
Hey, it's Ed the Sock. Where the heck were you when this show was live? Now it's a rerun and you can't call in. So don't call in. All right, Ed the Sock Lives. Our telephone number here, 416 416- 640-0200. Don't be afraid. Feel free to call up, talk about whatever's on your mind. I will give you a fair hearing. But if you're an idiot, well, you're going to get what's coming to you. All right, we got a special guest here today. His name is Nick Beaton. He's a comedian. He's the host of the Third Rail podcast, a podcast that takes a look at political topics that are basically the political third rail. You know, the kind of things that people say you shouldn't talk about because they encourage people to get very, very angry, as Marvin the Martian would say. But he talks sense, which in this day and age is kind of makes him an endangered species, and he's here with me to just talk about stuff. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good, Ed. How you doing?
I'm good. So, Nick, do you ever think that you and I are economically on the wrong side of history at this point in time? Because there's nobody lining up to do a GoFundMe for people who speak common sense. You got to...
there's no money in it at all.
No, right? there's no money.
On one side of the spectrum, that's pretty much the only way. If you're one extreme, you can make money.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that I'm some kind of sap. What do I care if people believe the truth or not the truth? Well, it doesn't affect me one way or the other. I know what I'll believe. I think I should just start mouthing. I'm going to get remember those Dickie D ice cream cycles?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of those, and I'm going to open it up. And then the city will try to close me down, and then I'll get people showing up to buy ice cream, and the police will come, and then they'll take me away, and then I'll get over $200,000 raised for me on GoFundMe, because that's what happened with the guy from Adamson Barbecue. Over $200,000, and people were buying the nonsense that he was just a man, a working man, trying to put food on the table for his family. Meantime, his location is in a building his parents own. He comes from a wealthy family, and he was making so much money with takeout during COVID that he bragged about it on Instagram.
Yeah, didn't he actually, I heard he was doing better during COVID.
Yeah.
But still wanted to start the fight just to start it, I guess. I don't really understand it.
I think that he's got three locations, and the location that he used in Etobicoke was the least profitable of all three locations. So I guess he figured, the guy's no idiot. You know, despite the plaid and that hockey hair, the way he, makes himself look like I'm just a working man. And working man, by the way, has no G in it. It's, an apostrophe after the N. he really played everybody for a fool. And it's easy to play these rubes for a fool.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to wind them up at all. Everybody's frustrated with the lockdown, I think, after a while, but just you can't, because he was also does believe that the virus was a hoax as well, an anti-masker. You can't do all of those things. You can still even opening the restaurant as some sort of protest, fine, but then having people in with no masks, everything, all of it just compounds and becomes so frustrating. And then every idiot from the internet shows up and donates money, and it's just, why make this guy, this of all the people, your hero?
Well, it was like the Voltron of stupid.
Yeah.
You had the anti-maskers, you had the COVID deniers, you had the COVID conspiracy theorists, form of leg, form of arm, it turns into a Voltron of idiocy. It was like a bazaar of the bazaar.
And then it really gets cooking.
Yeah, it was, you had the white supremacists and, add them for a little color.
Yeah.
it becomes, exactly what it was, which was I can't say that word, but it starts with cluster.
And I just read as well that he was operating without a business license for 4 years.
Oh, not just that, but if you check out his the health department visits to his place, he wasn't keeping the place clean. He wasn't doing things to keep rodents out. You look at that, it's I'm not eating there.
Yeah. And then again, all of this stuff, why make this guy your hero, your folk hero of the working man fighting against the government, just a guy who's gross and terrible.
Because he was cosplaying as a working man. Yeah. You know, I mean, with that backwards baseball hat, that scrub of beard, you know, he looks like the guy from Brawny Paper Towel. You know, he was really working that I'm just a man trying to provide for my family. And people bought it because it's easy. You can just press buttons on these rubes and money comes out of them. You just got to claim that you're aggrieved for some reason. Somehow people are keeping you down. And if you can make it that the government is keeping you down and or people of color are keeping you down, then they open up the taps and the money comes pouring in because they're all aggrieved. They all their lot in life is horrible because everybody else, not because of their own choices and actions. And so
And you can't even tell people now, like, the facts about it. You can't even say, like, well, he has money, he doesn't need your money, or he didn't have a business license, all of these things, because people just don't allow facts in anymore. They just make up their mind and decide, no, this guy's a hero, this is what we're going with. Doesn't matter what you say.
Well, it's like facts are actually, when you start raising facts, that immediately tips them off to, oh, you believe everything from the mainstream media. It's like, well, you know why they're mainstream? Because they don't cover fringe theories that don't have any support or any backing. It's like these lunatics is the equivalent of saying, you know, what are you putting on a coat for? Well, the weatherman says it's going to be, you know, 10 below. You believe everything you see in the mainstream media? I'm going out without a coat. Well, you can go out without a coat, but it's still 10 degrees below zero.
Yeah. Yeah, people pretend or act as if being skeptical just means not believing anything you read at all, which is way too far. It's okay to, like, challenge what you're reading, read counterpoints to it, do that sort of investigative research, but to just say, I am not believing anything on CNN ever is ludicrous.
Well, every news service has a bit of a slant. A little bit, but they're mostly balanced, except for things like Fox News, which is everybody knows what they're getting when they go to Fox News. That's why people go to Fox News, or, you know, the erstwhile Rebel here here in Canada. They know what they're getting. What they're getting is something that already confirms what they want to believe. It's like I said to that previous caller, people will go out of their way to support anything that tells them they're right.
Yeah. Yeah, even things like Fox News are getting to a point where they're trying to, you know, you're getting a couple of them on there saying Trump lost this election. Like, it's few and far between, but even with that, it's starting to sort of ground itself in some form of reality sometimes.
Well, the interesting thing about what's going on with Trump is once again another example of rubes being squeezed as a piggy bank, because. Yeah. If you look at the website which takes donations, it says that the money can be used to pay off his campaign debt. He's raised over $200 million he's not raising it from big dollar donors. He's raising it in drips and drabs from drips and drabs from the great unwashed. And he's raised over $200 million. Think about that.
Yeah. The whole thing that blows me away with Trump and then the supporters of Trump and this collecting donations is he literally ran 4 years ago on being a self-made billionaire, talks about how much money he has, how successful he is, and then he asks for money, and people they don't connect that dot at all, that, like, they said the reason why we voted for him because he was this successful self-made billionaire, and now he's asking for money, and it doesn't, no light goes off in their head, like, wait a second, he should have the money himself.
Well, and why does his campaign have any debt?
Yeah.
You know, that's another question. Joe Biden's campaign, I don't believe, had any debt. They raised tons of money.
Well, he paid off fewer porn stars, I think.
Well, yeah, that's right. He didn't have to pay off porn stars. So, but that comes out of a slush fund. That's incidental for the amount of money you raise for a presidential campaign. The man didn't raise that much money. He wound up in debt. I mean, that is very unusual for a sitting president running for re-election to run into debt. But, I mean, debt is Donald Trump's best friend. He's been living in debt for years. He currently owes $400 million to some foreign bank. Maybe he'll use that $200 million to pay down half of it.
Yeah, that's exactly. And then he's
going to try to make money after this by he'll start a media company or something like that. Like, he's been given so many kicks at the can to make money, and he always manages to lose it, and everybody's just still supports him. I don't get it. But I think, yeah, him going into debt for this campaign, I think the Republicans got what they wanted out of him, all the federal judges he put in, the Supreme Court, he packed that up. And they're like, all right, well, that's pretty good for 4 years. We don't need this guy anymore.
Well, they're still standing behind him because because I think they're thinking, what does it hurt to humor him? We know that these court cases aren't going anywhere. They're not worth the paper they're written on.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. It's just stay enough on his good side. Don't feel any wrath. You probably will still have some power after this is done. But the fact that these cases are even being heard at all is, I guess that's the way it works. You can put a case forward, it has to be heard, but what a joke.
Yeah, it's one of those jokes that isn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, one of those. So, to switch horses for a bit, what are your plans for Christmas this year? You're going to be on a big change from usual?
I'm from the East Coast, so I would normally go back there for Christmas, but I didn't last year because me and my girlfriend got a dog. So it'll basically be the same thing as last year, just here with a dog and my girlfriend.
Why couldn't you go away because you had a dog? And did your family buy that excuse?
Yes, they did. We just got him. He was a rescue. Like, we had just got him maybe 5 or 6 months before. So we're like, we can't kennel this guy. He's too nervous. And
5 or 6 months? You said you just got a new dog. 5 or 6 months? That's not... Yeah. Your family bought... You didn't want to see your family. That's what it comes down to.
I really wish you would not expose this.
Well, I mean, it's obvious to anybody who's listening. You just got a dog 5 or 6 months earlier. You know, you have people, there are services that will come in and sit with your dog. You could leave your dog at home.
He's staring at me right now. He knows I'm talking about him. I don't think he likes this topic of conversation.
Well, no, because, you know, don't you be using my trauma as an excuse for you not wanting to see your family.
Look, it fit. It was wrapped up with a nice bow.
What would you use this year if it wasn't COVID? What would your excuse be? He just got a new toy, and you can't leave him with it?
He's going through a rough patch.
Oh, he's going through a rough patch.
Yeah.
Do you miss big Christmases?
I like Christmas. I like Christmas. But I mean, I don't have a huge extended family, so it was never anything crazy anyway. These people who are, you know, I assume everybody's kind of happy they don't have to fly or drive and then sit around 40 people. Some of them they don't know, most of them they don't like. You know, take this. This is a good opportunity to just not have to do that for a year.
Now, are you buying as many presents as you would if you were going out there and sending them there, or are you using this as an excuse, like I am, to not get presents for people you really don't feel like getting presents for?
I'll probably get presents for everybody that I normally do, but I'll just Amazon it and send it, and it'll be much better than having to go to a mall anyway.
Well, so you're saving money on cards this year.
Yes.
Cards are ridiculous. Have you bought a greeting card lately?
They're nuts.
Yeah.
They're like $7-$8.
You can find some cards that are $12 that have like little voice chips in them.
Yes.
It's a piece of paper that gets thrown away about 5 minutes after the thing gets opened, or it sits on a mantle until it gets forgotten about and then thrown out in a giant cull. And they're charging you a ridiculous amount of money for that. And especially when you can like go online and there's free sites for greeting cards. You can print them up yourself.
Yeah. The greeting card business is nuts because no one really likes them either, unless I'm wrong on this, but I've never been given a card and been like, oh, this means so much to me. It's just like, thank you for spending the obligatory $7.
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel I should be doing something more with the card. Because, you know, you read the card, and after the card comes the present. And you know the real thing you're interested in is the present. But you can't just take the card, throw it over your shoulder like Friar Tuck in Rocket Robin Hood, you know, and go dive into the present because they spent $7-$8 on this piece of paper. So you take extra time pretending that you're touched when really all you're doing is...
That's what you have to do. You have to do that thoughtful sort of, you have to in a couple of steps, right, to show you really read it and cared.
Yeah, and Paul always gives you those cards.
What's that?
Paul always gives those cards.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who Paul is.
I don't know. Yeah, oh, yeah, Paul. I was like, am I supposed to know who this Paul guy is? I don't know what's going on here. But, yeah, they always give the it's always somebody gives a card, and they know that they want it to mean something. And you're like, it just doesn't, though.
It's worth a chuckle, but that's it. It wasn't worth the $7 for the chuckle?
No. Funny cards are like you really got to pour over a card aisle to find one that's even kind of funny.
And you spend a lot of, and especially nowadays, everyone's touching the cards. You don't know if the stuff can be transferred by touch. Never mind. I think the cards should go out the window. Where can people find your podcast, Third Rail with Nick Beaton?
Anywhere you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean. All the big ones.
Well, we're always glad to have Nick Beaton on because it's better than having Nick Beaton off. All right. Thank you very much, Nick Beaton.
Thanks, Ed. It was fun.
All right. Talk to you. Happy Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
We'll be back after this.
Stream us live at saga960am.ca.
Hey, it's Ed the Sock. Where the heck were you when this show was live? Now it's a rerun and you can't call in. So don't call in. All right, we are back on Ed the Sock Lives. Our phone number is 416-640-0200. And it's time to talk about show business with none other than Andy Wills. You got the music there? Let's hear it. There we go. I thought the computer froze again. Yeah, this is very jaunty, this music. Very happy, big epic. See people going down to the theater, you know, all dressed up in the 1930s.
With popcorn.
And remember those days when you could go to a movie theater and watch on a big screen? Remember those days? This is going to be like talking about gramophones and things like that. You know, one day you'll tell your grandchildren about, we had these things called movie theaters. And you went and sat with people who stunk? Yeah, we did, but we didn't know how bad they stunk till we left to go to the bathroom and walk back in. And then we knew how, because you sit there, you don't know how bad it stinks when it starts to rise. And then when you come back in, you realize you've been sitting in that stink the whole time. Yeah, maybe I don't miss movie theaters. All right, let's talk to Andy. Andy, are you there, Andy Willis?
Han Hanukkah Sameach!
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, gotta wipe down my phone. Give me a second. Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy belated Hanukkah, baby. I've been missing you and thinking of you deeply every night. And every night for it as I light that candle. Shout out to all the Yiddish kids in the crowd. I love you, baby. Now, last week, I was with Ellen Page. But then you kept saying Elliot Page. And I was trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So after I got off the call, I look over at Ellen. I say, Ellen, what's going on? And she's like, I'm not Ellen, I'm Elliot. And I said, what? And so anyways, we were out of Denny's. I broke down. I was crying. He consoled me, held me, nursed me, and made me feel better about myself in that moment of need that I had. So toast to Elliot Page. Ugh. But I have to take a week off. I'm not with anyone right now. So I'm here to talk to you about Star Wars. So do you want to get into it?
Oh, I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited about this news from Disney.
Everyone should be, because really 2021 and 2 and 2023, 4 and 5 is probably all going to be about Star Wars. You got a lot to look forward to. So Kathleen Kennedy, head of Disney Studios, not transitioning, is rolling out Star Wars left, right, and center. We're going to have a Mandalorian spinoff. It is called The Rangers of the New Republic. It stars Rosario Dawson and Ahsoka Tano. Now, sounds kind of like a Sharon Glass, Tyne Daly reboot of Cagney and Lacey, if you ask me. But, you know. Anyways.
Wait, do you realize...
I'm excited to check it out. Are you?
You realize Rosario Dawson is Ahsoka Tano.
Oh. Well, see, I don't know a damn thing, clearly. I'm misgendering people. I'm breaking down, crying, weeping in a Denny's parking lot.
Rosario Dawson plays the character Ahsoka Tano.
Oh, jeez Louise. Well, you know what? It's going to be a damn load of fun, and I'm excited to check it out.
I'm excited about
Mandalorian.
I mean,
have you watched it?
Oh, The Mandalorian is amazing this year. It's so good. Oh. It's like every episode is, that was a better Star Wars movie than the last three Star Wars movies. Every episode, every hour is like a better movie than the last three of the trilogy, and way better than the first three of the trilogy. It's got the spirit of the episodes 4, 5, and 6, which were the first three movies that were released, which is when it starts to become confusing for people who aren't Star Wars fans. But Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, still the gold standard. But The Mandalorian is so excellent this year. Every episode is like a movie. The production quality, the pacing, it's amazing. And I'm looking forward to, there's going to be a Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff starring Ewan McGregor.
And Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, and Canada's Hayden Christensen is going to be in that as Darth Vader. I'm curious if he'll be Anakin Skywalker or Darth Vader. Will he be in the suit or will he be the guy with the scar who got, is this before he got his limbs cut off and had to be put in that robot suit? You know, all these questions out there. Plus, Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman, one of my favorite movies, is going to be directing the next theatrical release of a Star Wars movie called Rogue Squadron.
Well, okay, so I haven't seen, I'm not as entrenched in the Star Wars thing as you are. My biggest fear is that there's going to be too many Yoda gifs and too many Yoda memes. Like, I don't want
that's
any
not,
more of those.
That's not
my
possible.
Number one concern. To hell with everyone else.
That's not possible. You cannot have too many Yoda memes. Baby Yoda, especially. You can't have too many of those. Baby Yoda is awesome. And Baby Yoda may be touched by the dark side. We don't know. That's part of the, I mean, what's interesting is they didn't announce a season 3 for The Mandalorian. So I don't know if that's even happening.
I think it will, because it really feels like everything is just going to be Star Wars franchises. Just they're just going to keep pushing them out through Disney. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be a Mandalorian 3. I'm putting my Hanukkah bet on it.
Oh, you're putting your gelt down?
Yes, baby, I am. Indiana Jones, something else coming out of Disney.
Yeah, this one I'm not so excited about.
Well, this, first of all, no one knows anything about it.
All we know
kind of dumb.
All we know is that Harrison Ford is going to be in it. Harrison Ford is like 80. And the idea, I mean, an exciting day for a guy Harrison Ford's age is crossing the street. You know, it's not exactly, you know, making sure he gets to the early bird special on time or changing his adult diaper before he soils it. Like, it's,
oh God.
How can you have a rugged character like Indiana Jones, unless he winds up playing, like, the father of another character, like Sean Connery did? I really wish that they would leave Indiana Jones with the three movies they made, and then that fourth one that we all agree actually didn't happen. I'm not convinced that this is a really good idea.
Well, and see, that's what, you know, I was trying to find anything I could about it, making phone calls, trying to figure it out, and there's nothing. And the only thing that you can infer from Indiana Jones 5 is that there was 4 before. And to tell you the truth, the first 2 were my favorite. The 4th I never saw, and I don't think anyone else really did either.
I don't know.
Are you going to watch the 5th?
People saw it. That's how we know how terrible it was. It was terrible.
Are you going to be watching the 5th one?
Yeah, Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Prostate.
Well, that could be a name title for it. I mean, again, we don't know much about it, but it's going to be a Disney pick, so it's kind of interesting. You have all the Star Wars, and they're like, oh, let's just do a little Indiana Jones. Just
well,
for
it's
some
all,
flavor.
It's all part of Lucasfilm, right? Kathleen Kennedy is head of Lucasfilm, and all of this is coming out of Lucasfilm. So, plus, there was years ago a movie called Willow, a little fantasy movie starring little person Warwick Davis, who also starred as the main Ewok in Return of the Jedi. And they're going back to this movie that's 35 years old and doing a series about that. It's just, it seems that streaming is the new motion picture.
Pretty much. I mean, as you said, it was Mandalorian. Every single episode felt like a full, it was delicious. I enjoyed watching it. Clearly, I slept through some parts because I didn't know the difference between Rosario Dawson and her character. But you know what I think? If they need a director for Indiana Jones 5, you know who they should get?
Who?
Clint Eastwood. You should have Indiana Jones sitting reflective on a porch for 2 hours, just reflecting on his past career and life, and just be his own Baby Yoda.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
It could be Oscar bait. Who knows?
Yeah, it's Indiana Jones sitting on his...
You know what? Can we get into some music, though? I really have one artist that I think will get people feeling really good and moving through the holidays.
All right, what's
good
it?
Dance,
is it Bing Crosby? Is it Bing Crosby? Because we heard Bing Crosby earlier, and he was lighting it up.
I don't want to listen to that racist and alcoholic. No way. You know what I think everyone should be listening to this holiday? His name is Joji. It's J-O-J-I. He's Japanese, and he has this really great song called Your Man. So whether your man is Baby Yoda or, you know, Indiana Jones, listen to it. It's a great song. It's going to get you feeling pumped up and moving today.
Joji.
Joji.
And it's called Your Man.
Absolutely. Hip, fun, happening. You got to listen to it.
All right. Well, hip, fun, and happening. That describes you, Andy Willis. Thank you for joining us and giving us this show business update.
Absolutely. And a toast to you and yours this Hanukkah and holidays. Have a Kahlua. Have an eggnog. Enjoy.
Have a Kahlua? You think that, you think that little of me?
I'm having a Kahlua and eggnog right now.
Eggnog makes me sick. Eggnog is like body effluvia. It's got a consistency like, I can't say because this is a family station, but let's just say that if you took eggnog into a sperm bank, somebody might be confused.
Hey, I would, and I know where to go. Thanks so much, baby. Happy holidays.
Thanks. I just made Jody sick. That's been my goal all day.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Andy Willis. All right. We got time for a poetry reading, right? Add a little class. After that little joke, add a little class to the proceedings. And Andrew Nurse is joining us, the poet laureate of the program. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm good. You sound real pumped.
Yeah, I am.
Are poets always sad?
Am I always sad?
No. Not you, but poets in general. Are poets always sad? Poets rarely write... Like, if you write something that's happy, it's more of a limerick. But when it's sad, it's a poem. Are poets always sad? Are you always sad, Andrew Nurse?
I think poets are mostly always bad.
Oh, you're right. Poetry sucks.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of it is terrible.
I can't tell the difference between what sucks and what doesn't suck. That's why I keep having you on.
Well... Never come down to Peterborough, because...
Is Peterborough the height of bad poetry?
There's some events that happen down here. I don't go to them anymore, though.
Oh, you're above them.
Well, I mean, not too hard.
It is a low bar. All right, what's your poem called this week?
This one's called Reservations.
Reservations. Does this have anything to do with our native brethren?
No, it does not.
Okay.
It's like a reservation, as in, like, you make a reservation.
Oh, okay. All right, I hope that wasn't a spoiler alert. Okay, let's go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, reading his poem, Reservations, is the poet laureate of Ed the Sock Lives, Andrew Nurse. Andrew?
There is vacancy, even though I occupy. One room to myself, no guests allowed. No cable. I get local channels if the weather is good. I like to unplug the antenna, listen to the debris, beats flipping through the same tire programming, and isn't loud enough to travel through walls. That's it.
Okay, we got a couple minutes. What the hell was that all about?
Well, usually if I sit down to write something, there's one or two ways that I go about it. I either want to use a certain word and look for a way to use it, or I just want to sort of, like, invoke a feeling and not have it be anything specific.
Well, you invoked just a feeling of confusion. What was that about?
That was just kind of about maybe a feeling of isolation.
And how does that relate to getting reservations at a restaurant?
Well, because the sort of the imagery or context of the poem is, like, things that relate to being in, like, a motel room alone kind of thing.
A motel room alone.
Channel, just getting cables, one room to myself, things like that.
Why are you in a motel room alone?
I'm not. It's fictional, right? It's just meant to sort of invoke.
Are you watching porn channels in that hotel room alone?
I mean, you have to pay extra.
Well, that's what the company credit card's for. All right. Andrew Nurse, thank you very much for your art and sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, Andrew Nurse, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody clap. All right, we're coming near the end of the show. By the way, those talking about COVID, those arrows in aisles in stores, are we supposed to really take those things seriously? Like, honest to God, really? I'm supposed to go all the way down one aisle so I can go up the aisle I want to go to? Are you out of your mind? Why would I do? I'm wearing a mask. Why do I need? I mean, do we still pretend that these arrows are something people are supposed to follow? Do you follow those arrows, Jyoti?
I do.
Why?
Because that's how it's supposed to be done. They're telling you this is the path you're supposed to follow.
You're like sheep. You're being shepherded by duct tape on a floor. I mean, I'm all for safety precautions, but this is a little stupid already. I understood when people weren't wearing masks. But now, it's like, I want to get this from this aisle, and it's right here. I can practically reach it, but I can't step into the aisle to get it because I got to go down the other aisle and walk up the aisle to get here. How much time do you think I have in a day at these stores?
Well, if you waited in a post office line, I'm sure you have time.
No, I almost didn't get here for the show because I waited in line. Imagine how much time I would have been here late if I'd gone to the dollar store and gone up and down the aisles the wrong way. That's me. I'm a scofflaw. You make me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start going down the wrong way with arrows, and I'm going to get people to come and support me and start a GoFundMe, call me the arrow guy, and I'm going to demand that I have the right, don't infringe on my right to go the way I want to go, the direction I want to go down an aisle. That's what I'm going to do. All right. Stay tuned for next week. I'll announce where this will be happening. All right, Jyoti, thank you very much. And all of you, thank you for listening. Thank you for not calling. We'll see you next week on Ed the Sock Lives here on News Talk Saga 960.
No radio? No problem. Stream us live on saga960am.ca.